Dana Fraz is the founder and director of San Francisco Bay Area-based Food Shift. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Dana as she shares the nonprofit organization's partnerships with hotels, corporations, grocery chains, and more to reduce food waste. Dana talks about Food Shift's primary mission, incredible success stories, and the invaluable relationship with Joe Licata, Hilton San Francisco Union Square's Community Projects Manager. Dana also talks about how Food Shift utilizes leftover food, alleviates hunger, creates jobs, combats climate change, lessens the burden on landfills, conserves natural resources while propelling sustainable communities throughout the Bay Area. We're here with Dana Fraz. Tell us about your organization and how it started.
Well, Food Shift started because there was a passion inside of me to address the issues of wasted food and hunger, and this massive problem across this country and world where so much of our food is going to waste. In the U.S., it's about 40%.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And it's a problem that, fortunately, has been starting to get more attention in recent years. There's been a lot of people working under the radar for a very long time to address this issue. And finally, just in the past year, the U.S. came out with a goal of reducing food waste by 50% by the year 2030. So we're making progress.
When in time did you start, and how did you start?
I took a trip over to Southeast Asia when I was 17 and volunteered and lived with families. And when I came back, I was really struck by the waste and the consumption and the abundance and yet also the need. I was really aware of how much poverty and homelessness existed even in the United States. I saw a lot of food waste on my college campus and decided to start a food recovery organization then.
And where was campus?
Campus was at Sarah Lawrence College in New York, and that program thrived. I had 45 students involved by my senior year. We delivered about 500 pounds of food to the Bronx every night of the week. And then that program fell apart, and that's when I really started to question the all-volunteer charity model of food recovery. And I moved to San Francisco in 2011 and recognized that despite there being a very abundant, thriving food culture and a sustainability scene, food waste wasn't really part of the conversation. I saw that as a gap in the ecosystem and an opportunity.
When was this in time? What year?
I launched Food Shift in January 2012, and we're based in Oakland, California.
When you started the formal operation, what did it consist of and how did it operate and how has it evolved?
The first couple years of Food Shift's existence was really about raising awareness around the problem of food waste, mm-hmm. because it really wasn't on people's radar, and it was really important to make people aware of the consequences, both financially, socially, and environmentally. And a lot of those stats are very shocking, and once people are able to connect with them, it helps them care more about the issue.
Because then they get it.
Right. So, for example, if food waste were a country, it would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter.
Wow. Go a little deeper on that one.
Well, most food in this country goes straight to the landfill. And when it goes to the landfill, it rots, and it creates a powerful greenhouse gas, a methane, and that contributes directly to climate change. So right now, as we're witnessing these massive storms like Hurricane Matthew, the sea temperatures are becoming hotter and hotter because of climate change. There's obviously multiple causes, and food waste is one of them. And food waste is one of those problems that we can do something about. And when we do, there are all of these benefits. We save money for businesses and communities. We feed people in our communities. We can potentially create jobs. And that's one thing I'm really excited to talk about.
Let's talk about that because you alluded to that earlier, the pure volunteer model versus trying to rise employment as a spin-off.
Right. Well, we know that food alone won't solve hunger. While food recovery is absolutely essential to both reduce food waste and meet the pressing needs of people in our community who are hungry, it's not ultimately going to end hunger. We need to address poverty, employment, education, all of those issues.
And does that dovetail in with Alameda Kitchen?
It does. Mm-hmm. In fact, so what we envision, FoodChef is trying to develop models that are long-term sustainable solutions to the issues of hunger and food waste, trying to connect the dots between the two in a sustainable way. What we've observed in the space is that food recovery groups are largely under-resourced, really lacking the necessary infrastructure and capacity to meet demand on both food recovery side and the food distribution side. So we've come up with a few ideas. One is Alameda Kitchen. And Alameda Kitchen is actually based off a really well-known model based in Washington, D.C. called D.C. Central Kitchen. And what we do at the Alameda Kitchen is we provide job training and employment for people who are overcoming homelessness, incarceration, domestic violence. And we do that in a kitchen. We have a chef. We utilize food that would otherwise be wasted. We partner with groups like Imperfect Produce and use some of their surplus products, use some of the surplus that's coming from some of the food banks or other businesses, distributors, markets, bring it into the kitchen, and then make food products.
Do you mind talking a little more about the human side of the kitchen and some firsthand stories of individual people, obviously not their names? You've watched people's lives turn around and evolve because of this opportunity.
One thing we learned is that many people who came into the program came into the program because they needed work. They were not just inspired to do culinary work, but they needed work. And through the program, there were a lot of things that were accomplished that individuals shared with us. One woman said she lost 9 pounds in 6 weeks, so her diet really had changed. One woman mentioned that she was saving a lot of money because she wasn't eating out as much, and she learned simple things like how to make her own salad or soup, and so was spending less out at the store. One woman talked a lot about how the culinary training program has really inspired her to feed her children better. So she has 5 children, and she used to feed them candy for a snack or fruit snacks, and in the program learned how to dehydrate fruit. And so she would take home fruit and dehydrate that fruit for her family.
That's their new candy.
Right. And there are some other things, too. We invested a lot of time into supporting these women in networking, building their LinkedIn profile, building up their resumes, and basically getting them so they were job ready. Mm-hmm. And each of the women reported having increased self-confidence throughout the course of the program. So it's not just culinary skills. It's also these very important life skills that translate.
So this is all real time, just happening right now. I love this.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that with the San Francisco Bay Area itself, Berkeley, San Francisco, San Jose being such a huge worldwide draw for visitors and corporate groups and incentive groups and whatnot, that your relationship with the hospitality industry would be very beneficial for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the relationships that has been really supportive so far is a relationship with Joe Licata at the Hilton in San Francisco. As soon as I launched Alameda Kitchen, I reached out to her, and we were in need of thousands of dollars worth of supplies. And we had a few ways we could go about that. One is raise thousands of dollars or leverage relationships that we had in the community. And Joe was very generous in reaching out to her broad network of hospitality, food and beverage professionals, and asking for some supplies. We had a long list, and fortunately, we came up with some of those and saved a lot of money.
An example on your list of things that you needed.
We needed, and still need, storage containers, sheet pans, kitchen equipment like blenders, a dehydrator, ice machine, knives, cutting boards, you name it.
Mm-hmm. Some other ways that you partner in your relationship with the hospitality industry and the Hilton.
Yeah, so I met Joe very early on in my food shift work in the Bay Area. And a really important part of my first couple of years was really getting to know the landscape. Who are the key players? What are people doing? And one thing that has really impressed me about knowing and working with Joe and the Hilton over the past few years is just the sincerity of her interest in making a difference and the willingness to really use her position and the position of Hilton to create positive change in the community. So making connections where possible, making recommendations, providing these venues to share our Food Shift's, you know, vision and other organizations as well. And it's a real sincere approach. There's never been a question in my mind that what Joe and the Hilton are doing is anything but really trying to benefit the community.
That's pretty cool, a true greater good. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, Food Shift and some other partners hosted the Zero Food Waste Forum over in Berkeley. And we set ourselves a pretty ambitious goal of feeding 300 people for 3 days with food that would have otherwise been wasted. And it was a huge task to essentially run around the city for weeks collecting surplus food and making sure it was coordinated and organized to feed everyone. One of the big donors to that event was Salesforce Dreamforce event. They had something like 3,500 box lunches, 3,500 sandwiches, which actually, from the perspective of a food recovery organization, it's very hard to get rid of that much food. So while on one hand we were very grateful, it's also demonstrates a real need for us to prevent the waste from happening in the first place. Food Shift is funded through grants and foundations, through generous donors, and through our partnerships with some local businesses and corporations. So we've been hired by Airbnb to manage food recovery at one of their conferences, Bioneers, the Bali Conference, and most recently hired by Santa Clara County to do some research around what are the main gaps and challenges in food recovery and what are some of the opportunities and solutions. And the good news is, based on the report and based on the findings we put together for Santa Clara County, they have now hired a full-time food recovery coordinator for the region and are making really positive moves in the direction of a more efficient and sustainable food recovery sector.
That's really cool.
One of the most exciting projects we've worked on in the past couple years is with Andronico's Community Markets based in Berkeley. And they hired Food Shift to set up a food donation program for their stores, which we did. And in the process of supporting the redistribution of about 500 pounds of food every single day from one store, we were also monitoring and tracking their waste bins. And what we found out very quickly within just a couple weeks is that they could actually reduce their waste pickups from 4 pickups per week to 3. And calculated out, the savings was about $27,000 a year in savings. And that's really important for us in this movement to acknowledge, is that it's not just doing the right thing for the environment and for communities, but it's actually really good for businesses' bottom lines. And that's also very important for us to embrace as a food recovery sector and as we try to build a more sustainable food recovery sector, because food recovery needs more investment and more financial support in order to better meet demand. Where is the money going to come from? Well, one of the places it could come from is by leveraging some of those savings that the businesses are seeing based on their reduced waste costs.
Love it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Going forward, in a perfect world, your dream and your vision, how would you paint your picture?
Well, everyone has a role to play in solving these issues. And that's why collaboration is so essential and one of the cornerstones of how we work at Food Shift. And we envision that everyone is really stepping up to the plate and leveraging each other's knowledge and resources. And creation of toolkits is really important. And one thing that I recently got really excited about at the Green Meetings Industry Council event, specifically focused on food waste, was this idea that we would start creating some toolkits specifically for the hospitality industry. But my dream, what I really want to see, is more just and sustainable food systems in communities where governments and businesses and communities are really working together to make sure that good food is redistributed and people are compensated for supporting that work.
Dana, what a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. For further information, if somebody wants to learn more,
foodshift.net, and we're also on Twitter and Facebook.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Lori King and Susie Rodriguez, Melissa Corbin, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
The Underbed techno music was performed by Michael Carlin.